And he developed in his idea while he was still a young man, when he was not the king and was under his father's thumb, he was impressed by the ideas of the 18th century of humanism, of the improvement of the lot of the country. And he is the one who really thought up the term to be a benign despot, to be a benign emperor. That the emperor was absolute, but the emperor, as he said it, was not the first officer of his people, he was the first servant of his people. And that the job of the king was not to build palaces and have a good time, even though he would build the great palace at Potsdam, Sanssouci. But the job of the king was to serve the people, to improve the lot of the people. And he developed these ideas in conjunction with many of the leading philosophers of his time. He was a lifelong correspondent with Voltaire. In fact, when he became the king, Voltaire visited the palace and for a number of years was under the sponsorship of the king. The king, however, when he saw, you know, there are many people who it's much better to know from afar than from near. It's true of great people also. And when he saw Voltaire close up, he lost his appetite for him. So he sent him packing. But even after he sent them away, they continued their correspondence, their philosophic correspondence. Frederick was impressed by the ideas of liberalism that existed in the rest of Europe. And he decided in one of the strange decisions that the area that the matter could be tested in his empire, in his part of Germany, was on the Jews. Because the Jews were the most downtrodden, the Jews were the people who had no civil rights, who were under terrible oppression. So here you have the introduction of what is a strange phenomena which exists in the modern world, and that is the granting of rights to the Jews accompanied by a different type of anti-Semitism that existed before. The anti-Semitism of the Middle Ages was 99.9% religious. The anti-Semitism of the modern world is not religious. To put it in a very sharp fashion, Moses Hess, who we're going to discuss later in his book, Rome and Jerusalem, Moses Hess, who was a colleague of Karl Marx and who was himself an assimilated Jew and who claimed that Marx was not extreme enough in his socialism and communism. But Hess was a better Jew than Marx was a Meshumid, and Hess was a non-observant, but he was Jewish. Hess said, "The Germans hate us not because of our peculiar religion, but because of our peculiar nose." That is the difference between medieval anti-Semitism and anti-Semitism in the modern world. Anti-Semitism in the modern world is racial. It's genetic. It has to do with Jews, not what Jews believe, not that Jews are different. It has to do with the fact that they are Jews. And that is a nuance that the Jewish people did not catch on to till it was much too late in the game. Had we realized that in advance, we never would have thought, for instance, that the Haskalah, under any condition, could alleviate anti-Semitism. Because the only thing that could alleviate anti-Semitism was mass cosmetic surgery, which also would not help.